Good morning. This is Long Island Morning Edition on 88.3 WLIW FM, heard in Western Suffolk on 96.9 FM. I'm Michael Mackey. Polls opened at 6 o'clock this morning for voting in New York State's presidential primaries. Scott Idler reports on Newsday.com that the results are all but assured. President Joe Biden, a Democrat, and former President Donald Trump, a Republican, are already their party's presumptive nominees and appear headed for a rematch in the November 5th general election. Biden and Trump clinched their party nominations on March 12th. Biden needed a total of 1,968 delegates to win the Democratic nomination, while Trump needed 1,215 to win the Republican nomination. The Republican National Convention will take place in Milwaukee from July 15th to 18th, while Democrats will hold their national convention from August 19th to August 22nd in Chicago. Today's New York primaries are not expected to draw much turnout. Early voting took place from March 23rd to March 30th. In Suffolk, 2,292 Democrats and 1,895 Republicans voted early, according to the County Board of Elections. Polls close at 9 o'clock tonight, and only registered Republicans and Democrats are allowed to vote in their respective party primaries. Voters can determine their polling places through the state's voter lookup at voterlookup.elections.ny.gov. Or voters in Suffolk can call the Board of Elections at 631-852-4500. Inmates in New York are suing the State Corrections Department over the decision to lock down prisons during next Monday's total solar eclipse. As reported in the Associated Press, the suit filed Friday in federal court in upstate New York argues that the April 8th lockdown violates inmates' constitutional rights to practice their faiths by preventing them from taking part in a religiously significant event. The plaintiffs are six men with varying religious backgrounds who were incarcerated at the Woodbourne Correctional Facility in Woodbourne. They include a Baptist, a Muslim, a Seventh-day Adventist, and two practitioners of Santeria, as well as an atheist. The lawsuit states that one of the named plaintiffs, an atheist, received special permission last month to view the eclipse using glasses that would be provided by the state, but that was before the system-wide lockdown was issued in that prison. Communities in western and northern reaches of the state of New York are expected to have the best viewing of the total eclipse, including Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse, Lake Placid, and Plattsburgh. The total eclipse is expected to be seen in those parts of New York around 3:15 p.m. next Monday. North Fork Audubon hosts its monthly How to Get Into Birdwatching Without Getting Left Behind walk through Laurel Lake Preserve tomorrow at 8 a.m. Are you curious about bird watching but don't know the first thing about how to do it? Or have you ever been on a birding field trip and said to yourself, this stuff is for the birds, meaning I'm not seeing what everybody else is seeing? Or maybe you're thinking, I can't see anything through these binoculars. Well, now you can join Tom Damiani on small group field trips with a focus on effectively using binoculars, finding birds using your binoculars, and finding the best habitats for birds. Tomorrow morning's walk through Laurel Lake Preserve is free, but registration is required. Go to the North Fork Audubon Society website to do so. A push by the New York State Legislature to deliver tax relief for homeowners and working families is running up against Governor Kathy Hochul's plans to keep state spending at bay. Keisha Klukey reports on Newsday.com that Democrats who control the Senate and Assembly included in their election year budget proposals credits for taxpayers with children as well as property tax breaks. We know New Yorkers have faced incredible uncertainty in the last 4 years, and families are still feeling the effects of it, Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie said in a statement provided to Newsday. The Assembly proposal sought to relieve the tax burden on families and homeowners, he said. Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins recently told reporters her conference is also focused on affordability. We understand that working people, they need help too, and we want to make sure as we push for affordability, we don't leave anyone behind, she said. Negotiations between the Democratic governor and legislative leaders are in full force, as they have missed the April 1st deadline for approval of the 2024-25 budget. Plus, the State Assembly and State Senate tax break proposals come as all 213 legislative seats are up for election in November. The proposed spending of the legislature, however, is significantly larger than the governor's, with each house looking to add about $13 billion to Governor Hochul's $233 billion budget plan. The legislature called for increasing revenue by raising tax on the richest. Governor Hochul is not for that. In the halls of the New York State Capitol, with a budget deadline as of yesterday, it seems that all anyone wants to talk about today is adultery. Aaron Nolan reports in the New York Times that the seldom-enforced state law categorizes adultery as a crime, and past efforts to repeal it have gone nowhere. But that seems poised to change. The Assembly overwhelmingly voted in favor of a bill to repeal the adultery law last month, and a Senate committee last week moved a matching bill to the floor for a full vote that could come as soon as this week. The developments have attracted global attention, with the Assembly bill's sponsor, Charles Levine, a Democrat from Long Island, fielding interview requests from Europe to South America. Any criminal law that penalizes intimate behavior between consenting adults does not deserve to be on the books, said Mr. Levine, who added that he has been happily married for 54 years. While adultery is still illegal in a handful of states, in Oklahoma, Michigan, and Wisconsin, adultery is considered a felony offense. The vast majority of states repealed their adultery laws long ago or never outlawed it in the first place. Members of the Town of Southampton Youth Bureau recently participated in the YMCA's annual Youth and Government Conference in Albany. As reported on 27East.com, a total of 13 students from West Hampton Beach, Hampton Bays, Pearson, and Southampton High Schools attended. Leading up to it, the students spent 6 months writing their own bills to amend current legislation. Students then had the opportunity to represent the Town of Southampton Youth Bureau and debate their proposed bills in the chambers of the New York State Assembly during the 3-day statewide conference that took place March 22nd to the 24th. Youth and Government offers the opportunity for students to learn about a wide variety of issues regarding New York State government and legislation. The New York State Appellate Division, 2nd Department, issued two rulings last week in the ongoing litigation against East Hampton Town by users of the town's municipally owned airport in Waynescott. Beth Young of East End Beacon reports that the appeals court ruled that East Hampton was not allowed to close its public use airport and reopen it again days later as a private use airport, as it attempted to do back in 2022, and ruled that the town of East Hampton must follow the procedural requirements of the Federal Airport Noise and Capacity Act, known as ANCA, before adopting restrictions on aircraft that could use the airport, what's characterized as a lengthy process. The lawsuits brought by East End Hangars, Inc., Coalition to Keep East Hampton Airport Open Limited, and Blade Air Mobility, Inc., in February of 2022, attempted to stop the town of East Hampton from closing and reopening the airport, but the town decided to go ahead with changing the airport's FAA identifiers despite a May 2022 temporary restraining order issued by Suffolk County Supreme Court Justice Paul Baisley Jr. one day before the planned closure. The town of East Hampton had planned to implement restrictions at the reopened airport, including limiting aircraft to one takeoff and one landing per day, and setting airport hours of operation at 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday and 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. on weekends, as well as limiting noisy aircraft. The town of East Hampton said it is now reviewing its further options. This has been Long Island Local News on Long Island's only NPR station, WLIW-FM. I'm Michael Mackey.